God was just in our presence. And I want to read a scripture to you before we move forward. From Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, let us not give up meeting together as some were in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And we have come to meet together, but I wanted to say, let's encourage one another. And as you turn to one another and you greet one another, will you let your touch be an encouragement to those to your left and to your right and those that you don't know? Make people sense the presence of God through you, because Christ is in the house and he's in our bodies. And may you touch people with the love of God today. So will you get up and will you greet someone around you? And I know some of this is intimidating, but please greet those folk around you and greet them with the love of Jesus. This mic is not right. If we can just sort this mic out, please. Let's pray before we get into God's word, and let's just trust the Holy Spirit to minister to us. Father, we thank you for this morning, that we have come to worship you in spirit and truth, but also, Lord, to hear your revealed word this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts to you as your word is preached. May you be seen high and lifted up in this place. And I pray, Lord, that every one of us will be transformed and changed through your life-giving word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Just on behalf of the eldership and the leadership team, we are here to serve you. You're not here to serve us. And you know, a lot of the times we don't know what's going on in your lives, and unless you open up your hearts to us, we can't come alongside. You know, as much as we are led by the Spirit of God, We're not mind readers. And I want to just encourage you, if you're going through stuff, you're not to walk this road alone. We are there to walk with you, to pray with you, and to trust our God together with you. And you know, two is better than one, but a family is better than two. And you need us, and we need you. And I really want to encourage you, when you face the ups and downs in life, the good and the bad times, we are there for you, and we want to walk with you, because we've got a destination together. And we do it together, we're going to come out stronger, and God's going to do it so wonderfully in and through us. I continue today in our message that we began last week, Abide in Me. But the title of the message today is Abide in Me and Come to Me. And the text that we're reading from is from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. And John chapter 15, verse 4. So if you want to get out your Bibles and read with me, please, from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, and John chapter 15, verse 4. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then John chapter 15, verse 4, it says, Abide in me, and I abide in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself, of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, today, I don't want to get into the depths of the behind the scenes, but the two phrases that I really want to just expound upon this morning is from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me and abide in me. And I want to just say is that Jesus is a God that always calls. He sees us for where we are. He was sent by the Father, but he saw us in our sin. He saw us in our brokenness. He saw us lost, and he went to that cross to save us. And I want to say today that the call of Jesus today is still the same. He's saying to us, come to me. And I'm telling you now, Jesus has said that to a lot of us, and we've responded to that. And maybe you here today, and you've never responded to his call. And I want to say to you, if you've never responded to his graciousness and his love, he's calling you today to come to him and to respond to his love and allow him to be the Lord of your life. It's the greatest call that we all have experienced, the majority of us have experienced. But if you've never experienced that call of coming to Jesus, I want to call upon you today, come to him and come and talk to us afterwards, because I'd love to chat to you about that. But many of us here today are of those that have come to him. But I want to say to you, Jesus is also saying to us, abide in me. And I really just sense is that the Lord wants us to come to an understanding of the depths of this new invitation. You know, he spoke to his disciples to come and follow him. And then later, just before he went to go to the cross, he spoke about the vine and the branches, but he spoke very clearly about us to come and abide in him. And I want to just say is that even though we are partakers of his love and understand the wonder of his truth, his word, and know the leading of the Holy Spirit and the pardon and the forgiveness of our sins, he still says to us, come to me, but with that, abide in me. You know, and I want to just share about my life is that time when this was so real to me, when the Lord called me to him, it was those many years ago now. It was in Germiston, and we were visiting the Catholic convent. They had a visiting speaker there. And that night, there was a call to come to him. And the Lord's presence was so real and tangible. It was real. And I knew that something had taken place in my life as I came to him and submitted my knee to him. And there was a joy and there was a peace that came to me. But you know, I want to just say to you, that didn't always remain. There was a time when this thing became dull, that in a sense, the expectations were not realized. I never knew what this was about Jesus. And I tended to wonder. And I lost my way because I didn't seem to take this thing a bit further. And I want to just say, there is a reason why this takes place. The Lord calls, but we need to respond. And there's a depth of our responding is not just to be saved. You know, so many, I want to say, in the church today have bought the ticket. And they think because they've bought the ticket and they've got their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're safe. Now, I don't know. I don't think it's like that. The Lord never called us just to buy a ticket and that you're going to get to a destination. He called us to be with him and to walk with him and to walk a closer walk with him. He never said, come now and now get on with your life. He came and he said, now come to me and now abide in me. So why do we wonder? Why do we fall away? Why do we get disappointed? And I want to just say the answer to us why we get disappointed is I really believe that we wander in our walk with the Lord. Why we get distracted. And it happened to the Israelites. The Israelites were brought out of Egypt. They were brought out of a place of wickedness. They were brought out of a place of slavery. And they were set free. God set them and brought them across the Red Sea. And he brought them into this place of the desert. But they were meant to take three and a half weeks to get across to the promised land. But what happened in their hearts? Their hearts became rebellious. They didn't seek after the Lord. Even though Moses went up the mountain and they came down, they created another idol, the calf that they were worshiping. And I want to just say that happens to all of us. If we do not get into a place and we come to this place of seeking a close, intimate fellowship with him, it's no good just to come to him. We've got to determine in our hearts to come and stay with him. And I believe that's Jesus' call. Jesus' call to us is not, now come to me, okay, I'll make things right, now get on with your life. It was never, ever his intention, now get on with your life without him. God never expected us to have a few short hours of the joy and the love and understand his deliverance and get on and wander in sin. He never intended us to have a short-term blessedness or just special times like this morning where we've experienced his presence. He wants this continual, intimate fellowship with him. He prepared a place for an abiding dwelling with himself. You know, God has always wanted to be with us. He created us. And we see from the Old Testament how God created a garden with Adam and Eve, and he walked in the garden with them, and he called out to, where are you? And they fell into sin. And then he went with the Israelites, and then he had a tent of meeting, and he met with his people. He was with his people. He was there, not involved totally in their lives, but there was a tent of meeting because of his holiness. And then they built the temple, and then they came to worship in the temple. And even in Jesus' time, they came to the temple to celebrate and to pray. But you know, when Jesus went to the cross and he died on that cross, what is one of the most significant things, apart from just paying the price for our sin and for our brokenness and bringing us back into a living relationship with God, that curtain was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The temple was stopped. No longer would be there temple worship. We wouldn't go to a place to go and worship God. What did he do? He opened up the way that he can come and live inside of us. And this is where he says to us now, he wants to come and live inside of us. And this is the reality of abiding in him, is that he doesn't want to be far away, and he doesn't want us to just think, well, he's at the right hand of the Father, even though he is. This living God says, come and abide in me, and I will abide in you. His temple becomes you now, and he starts to live in that place. But we need to comprehend this. We need to come and understand, what does this actually mean to our lives? The call was not to come to me and abide in me, abide with me, but it was to abide in me. You see, we've got to move from the come to me to the abide. Because so often many come to the come again and they wander off, but they never get to the intimacy and the oneness of close fellowship with God. You see, Jesus has got open arms, and he wants us to press into him, that his arms can be around us, that we can be so close to him, that we would know the divine fullness of his life and his love. And we would take up this intimacy of fellowship with him and share this life and this love. He has called us to be wholly one with him. We don't understand this. This great loving Savior who died for us comes and says, I don't want you any other place. Even though you live in this world, I don't want you to live by yourself. I want you to live with me and me with you. I want us to dwell together. And this is not comprehended, because this is something that you've got to fight for. This is something that you've got to hold on to, because we have an enemy that will distract you and try and get you and ensure that you do not abide with him and with him with you. The devil will come and try and get you to focus on your family, which seemingly are good things, on your work, which are seemingly good things. He will take you and distract you and get you so busy with other stuff that Jesus just stands there and actually just watches. We've got to get to a place again, church, where we actually abide in him. When we learn this and understand this, something of the reality, what the Godhead planned for us to live in will become a reality. Now, I cannot teach you this as much as I'm sharing this with you. This has got to come through revelation. This has got to come from God actually speaking into your heart. You've got to hear him. You see, this journey of abiding in him was meant for us to be wholly one with himself. It's not only us to abide in him, but him abiding in us. And I think when we understand the wisdom and the revelation of this, we've declared in our vision to know him, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we need to be. He mustn't be far off, and he mustn't be in a place when one day you close your eyes and you move into our true destination of home, that you know him from that time when you see him. You need to know him on a daily basis. You need to know him in the intimacy of his great love. I want to tell you, this loving Savior loves you. He loves you. And so often we see this great King, and with all authority and all power, he's Almighty God, but he is love. And if we would turn to him, and I watch the mothers and their children, and how their children will run to their mothers and their fathers, and they would run especially to mom, and when they want to sleep, and they'll run. The safest place is in the arms of a mother, and a child will just fall asleep there because it's secure and safe. And here we are, we have a loving God who wants us to be that close to him, not to run and live our lives and be by ourselves, but to be together with him. and just to know his love. And when we go through the difficulties, because you know what? You will go through difficulties and you will go through trials. But you know, I've got the good news for you is that when you go through those trials and those difficulties, God wants to be with you. He wants to show you the way and give you a solution in that thing. Sometimes it's not even a solution. It's sometimes I'm with you. And we will walk it together. And so often, you know, I think sometimes our understanding of the Lord is that yes, we pray and we ask and we want the situation to be changed. It doesn't always happen. But God is with you. God is with you. Corrie ten Boom, I don't know if you know Corrie ten Boom. In the Second World War, she helped the Jews and was convicted for that and landed up in Ravensbrück, I think it is. You know, God never delivered her from that concentration camp. But God was with her. He was intimate with her. He showed her, and their prayer lives increased like dimensions that if you read those books and understand what actually took place. That intimacy of knowing God, you didn't have to get to the church. You didn't have to get to the cathedral. God was there with her in the concentration camp. With all the lice, with all the lack of food, with the poor sleeping conditions, with the absolute squalor of what taking place, with those guards that actually destroyed them with their words and the things that they said, God was there with her. Now, we don't live in those circumstances today, but you know, we might be in a concentration camp because we live in the world. And we are so distracted by those things that we do not know this intimacy and this fellowship with the living Jesus. We see him maybe when we seem to have those special occasions of times of where we think we're pious. We need to know him intimately all the time. And I want to just say this is the invitation that I really believe that this Lord who loves us so much is inviting us again. Again, you might have wondered. And he's not standing here condemning you in any way. He's saying to you, it's time to come back. It's not just time to accept me as Lord and Savior, but it's time to come back to that intimacy, that oneness with me, and live life in me and with me through the trials and through the temptations, through the ups and the downs, through the misunderstandings and not always understanding what you're going through, but with him. That's what he promises you. God doesn't always promise you now the magic wand that your situation is going to be sorted out. I don't always see that in Scripture. He's there to be with you. And in that situation, you can live with everything that is promised. You can walk with peace and you can walk with his joy in those circumstances. Not saying God doesn't answer prayer, he does. But the greatest prayer he answers, he's with you. And that's what the invitation is, to come abide with him. See, in abiding with him is a continual communion. It's an intimacy of fellowship. You know, in marriage is a wonderful institution that God has created for companionship and friendship. And yes, we live different lives and we do different things, but that intimacy has got to be worked upon. And it's the same of this communion that you have with your God. You've got to work on it. And you've got to allow him to reveal himself to you. And I'm telling you now, this thing, as it takes time. And I loved what Craig said last week. He said to the Lord, I've got my Bible, I've got my car keys, I've got my glasses. And the Lord said in his heart, what about me? And we forget Jesus. And we might even pray and ask him to bless the things that we do, but we don't take him with us or us with him into all that we do. And I'm telling you now, when you start to live this life, and you start to live this life that knowing that Jesus is within you, this greater and almighty God, this loving God, your life will change. Because all of a sudden, you're walking in the presence of the King. And you will not say that angry word, and we're all guilty of that. and saying the wrong things because you're in his presence. And you'll be turning within your heart to him and saying, Lord, what should I say? How should I worship you? What should I do in this situation? And he's not far off. He's close and intimate in your heart. And he begins to walk with you like he walked with his disciples. There's times that you will hear his voice, and there's times that you will not hear his voice, but you will know that he's with you and that you can trust him and that he's close to you, and you can walk this wonderful journey of life with him. You know, I want to just encourage you as believers and those that have come to him, don't settle for the world. Don't settle for the treasures of mammon and what this world can offer to you and position of this world. Yes, God will promote us in this world, but don't settle for that. The greatest treasure that we have in life is Jesus. And we've got to find him. And as we work that out in our lives, in all that we do, the treasures of heaven are ours. Now, what does that mean to us? That intimacy of knowing that he's there and speaking to you in all that we go through. It's a joy. And when we come together like this and we worship him, he's with us not only individually, but he's in our corporateness. You see, otherwise, if we get this thing so wrong, we live from Sunday to Sunday. And we live from expression of, oh, that was a good worship session, or that was a good preach. But we forget about this intimacy of a living God, that you can take things on a real basis. I want to just share the reality, like in my home, I'm battling to get my pool sorted out. But you know, I'm doing it with Jesus. And he shows me, go this to the pool shop and get this. And then I do it and it's not working properly. And then he says, go and do this. And he's leading me on a journey. And you know, life's like that. You've all got things to do and outwork. And God doesn't want to be just this consultant. He wants to be there with you in those things. And then, you know, I walk around the garden and I see this potato bush. And I said, Lord, wow, this thing has really grown. Look how beautiful these flowers are. Look at this beauty. And look what you've done to the grass, Lord. The rain. Thank you for the rain. Lord, there is a problem because the grass is growing too fast now. But I'm just saying, this is the reality of abiding in him. He never went and died on a cross and went to the right hand of the Father. He sent his Holy Spirit, that through the Holy Spirit coming, that he can come live inside of us. And I really want you to find this joy, this oneness of living with the living Jesus, this loving Savior. Because otherwise, folk, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get churchianity, you're going to get religion, you're going to get things that God never intended you have. The Father wanted you to have Jesus. That's why he sent his Son. And Jesus is everything. He's Almighty God, but he's the tenderness of who God really is. And Jesus, they said to Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you build your intimacy with Jesus, you've seen the Father. You've seen God. And you know, the Lord wants to reveal his love to you like never before. You know, we got tough times out there, and the world is going the wrong way. And darkness is approaching. And in those tough times, if you're not close to your Jesus, my goodness, you might fail. You might fall off the bus. And I don't want any of you to do that. And you know, we do our best as a family to connect one another, that we can care for you and put you in life groups, and that you're never alone. But the greatest blessing I can do to you is to make sure you're close to your Jesus. And you can go anywhere in the world, he's there with you. And you can face any circumstance, he's with you. And he will reveal the Father's way to you, and you will find this blessedness of knowing him as a loving Savior. Do you hear God's heart in this? Where Jesus actually, I don't believe in John chapter 15, was hinting, he was actually commanding us to abide in him. And I've given you, and hopefully every one of you has got this little piece of paper, "Abide in Me." Because you see, this is a process. We have preached today. You've heard the message. But you know, this has got to find root. And it's got to find root in your life. And I'm asking you for at least for a week, put it in your Bible or where you journal, and start to contemplate and meditate on these words of Jesus to you. And start to assimilate, what does it actually mean to you if you are going to abide in Him? What does it mean? What do you have to give up? Because if we love the world more than Him, you're not going to find Him. If sin is in your life, you're not going to know the intimacy of fellowship with Him. And there are some things that we need to do if we want to get close to our living God. Remember, He is God. And He's got a standard that He will not bend. And He will not bend it for any of us, including me. His way is His way. And you do it His way, even though it's a loving way. And we need to examine our hearts and say, Lord, I see this invitation. I want to take hold of this invitation, and I want to walk in the fullness of this. What do you expect of me? Now, I don't know what that is for you individually. Maybe you've taken your eyes off the Lord. Maybe your work situation has become more important than Him. Maybe a child is wandering in your family has become more important than Him. Maybe your sickness has become more important than Him. He will have no other gods before Him. No other problem before Him. He must be Lord. And I'm telling you, when we get to that place of understanding His tenderness and we surrender all to Him and we say, okay, Lord, I want to abide in You, You have won one of the greatest victories in your life. It's not binding the devil left, right, and center. Get to Him. Get to Jesus. Get to Him. It's His call. And He's got no other place for you. You know, I don't know why I should say this, but you know, the praying for things is not going to get you to Him. Get to Him. I think there's a gospel out there that's been preached about prosperity and stuff like that. They are finding the prosperity because God is gracious. But they're not getting to Him. They're not getting to Him. May you never miss out on Him. It's all about Jesus. And get to know your Lord. Get to know your loving Savior. He wants to walk with you. You know, we can reference the history books. And Jesus lived 2,000 years ago. And the history books will tell you that He lived and walked Palestine, and he was a great prophet. But our Bible tells us He wants to live inside of us, and He wants that reality for you and I. And if you do not know that, how can you go and tell someone else about this living Jesus? Because you don't know Him. He knows you, but you don't know Him. And I'm calling this church to a place of consecration, to a place of surrender, back to Jesus. There's no other way. Otherwise, we're going to lose our path. If we don't get this, this is not foundational. This is absolutely fundamental. And if you don't get this right, you are going to wander. You are going to get distracted. You are going to find the things of the world and the temptations of the devil lead you astray. Get back to Jesus. It's the safest place to be. It's the securest place to be. It's the place God intended us to live. And you can do it. You can do it. And I know many of you have been walking the Lord for many years. I challenge you today, you're not deep enough with the Lord. Do you really know His voice? Do you really know who He is? Do you know his ways? And I'm telling you, I'm challenged, because you'll never fathom out your Jesus. You'll never fathom him out, because he's Almighty God. But that's the place he wants us to be. The prophets of old never had the privilege that you and I have today. They had the Spirit of God upon them. We've got Christ within us. And I want to encourage you that. So we're going to take a time, and I want God to speak to you today. And I've asked the worship team if they can just play softly in the background. Because, you know, when Jesus spoke to his disciples in John chapter 15, "Abide in me," it's good to read it in the scriptures, but I need you to hear his voice. And, you know, that still small voice of God within you. And I want to just trust that we're going to take a time just to close our eyes and ask the Lord Jesus to actually say those words to you again as an invitation, whether you've walked with the Lord many years, whether you're a new believer today, but you've never taken this opportunity to abide in him. I want you to hear his voice. And when you hear his voice, because let me tell you, the power of the still small voice is more powerful than a mighty earthquake, because it's the voice of God. It's a whisper. You might not hear it. But be still and hear his voice. Hear the words, "Abide in me." And when you hear his voice, because we're going to take time, I want you to respond to him and say to him, "Lord, I do abide in you." And then start to live in the place of abiding in him. So as the worship team starts to play softly in the background, can we close every eye? Let's focus on Jesus. And we're going to just allow him to come and say his words, this loving Savior, this holy God, the Almighty, who comes and continues, calls you to himself to abide in him. Will you hear his loving call? Will you hear the wonder of this wonderful God, his blessed voice, the Master's voice? May he speak deep into your heart. May he open up the depths of your lives as you hear him. Lord Jesus, these are your words, but it's your command and your invitation to every one of us. And Lord, we want to hear those words afresh from you. Will you come and speak to every individual here today, from the old to the young? And Father, let your Son speak into our hearts today. Lord Jesus, today we hear your command and your words to us personally, as families, and we respond to you today, Lord. Maybe we have wandered, maybe we have followed our own course, maybe we have just consulted you. But we haven't come to that intimacy and that place of fellowship with you. And Lord, we repent. We repent of our selfishness, our waywardness, our rebellious ways and hearts, where it's all about us and not about you. But Lord, we want to make right today. We hear you. We hear your words spoken to us. And we make a commitment to you, Lord, individually and as a family. Lord, we abide in you. We will abide in you. And we will know the blessedness of walking with you. And will you reveal the fullness of what it is to know you, Lord? I pray for that richness, Lord, for every one of us. This will not be held in any way, that we all find the secret of this. Whatever our journey has been in you, we know that you do not condemn us or point fingers at us. Thank you for inviting us to be with you and to dwell in you and to find all that our Father is destined for us in you. So Lord, as Isaiah heard the conversation in heaven, this is the word from heaven to us today. We will abide in you, Lord. Thank you. So, Father, will you take us as a family into all that you've destined for us in the diversity of our lives, in the ups and downs, in the trials and tribulations, in the persecutions. May we know the fullness of your promise that you've given to us now. Thank you for your goodness and your grace, Lord. We love you. Thank you, Lord. May these words resound in your hearts. May the Holy Spirit put it in your mind, and may you ponder on these things. And may Jesus be your reality. Nothing less, nothing more. May he be your fullness. May he be your everything. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you all. We love you dearly. Thank you, worship team. Amen.